Here in the second week of Lent, readings direct us as we learn from our Old Testament and Gospel, especially how to pray. All too often we try to limit prayer time as just quiet time, that time where we chat with God like we're talking with a friend. And it can be that. But what we see more often than not is that it is one in which we cry aloud to God. Don't tell the woman who came to Jesus that it's just her and God and time to sit quietly. Or to Jacob who wrestled with God all night. The life of faith, the life of trusting in God's promises, of believing his word and praying confidently. They're not easy things. It's hard, grueling work, even in a life of prayer. It was Jacob's sin that had separated him from his family, from his brother, sent him out from the promised land, and God's gracious presence. And so they began this epic wrestling match with Jacob, who had no idea who his opponent was. As a sinner contends with the great Lord, God would permit him to wrestle with him. And sometime during the match, Jacob realized that he wasn't just contending with another man, just flesh and blood. God just reached out his finger and puts it at the joint of Jacob's thigh bone, and Jacob would forever hop around. And in spite of suffering, with strength and determination that can only be given from above, he did not hold his release. He continued to hold on to God until he got the blessing from God. We don't know the particular moves and the wrestling strategy that Jacob used that would counter this match. But you can imagine just some of the dialogue going on between Jacob and the Lord as the Lord comes and says, "You've sinned, Jacob." And he says, "Yes, but you are merciful." And he says, "Yes, but I'm just. But you hold to your promises. But you deserve to die and be separated from me. Yes, but you are a gracious God. You provided a substitute for my father Isaac on Mount Moriah. I won't let go of you until I hear the word of your blessing." Jacob grabs hold of the Lord and continues to hold him tighter and tighter until he blesses him. It's like a little boy who finally pins his father down in wrestling and says, "Now I've got you where I want you." We need to learn to pray like that. Perhaps you felt like you're in a wrestling match with the Lord. Things aren't going right in your life. Perhaps you even think they're just going completely wrong. You may feel that the Lord isn't with you, actually wondering if the Lord is even perhaps against you. And it can be confusing to wrestle with the Lord. Not everything is completely evident at first. You know, you pray and pray about something, and it seems that God's not listening. You beg him to take away a particular sin, and you still keep doing it. You hear, yet you're forgiven. You know God's word and the commandments, and yet you continue to suffer under the weight of guilt. You continue to live something different other than on Sundays. We've got our own flesh and blood battling against us. And we have so much in the world against us. And the trick to wrestling with God is knowing who he is and what his intentions are for you. By faith, Jacob knew the trick. "I'm not letting you go until you bless me." He knew that for all the struggle that he had faced, that he had wrestled with the Lord all night, the Lord would still bless him. That's what the Lord does. And when you wrestle with the Lord, demand the same. "I won't give up until you bless me." Remember, though, the blessing may not be what your desired outcome was, or whatever is troubling you may still be there. Jacob received his blessing, but also received a hobbled hip for the rest of his life. You need to learn to cling to Jesus in the same way that we heard about the woman. To learn how to hold tight to the Lord like Jacob and this woman and demand a blessing. The Lord blessed him. Sure, God could have won this match quite handily at any point. But he chose to forgive Jacob, to take away his guilt. He instilled in him a godly fear and allowed him to hobble back into the promised land. Altogether, the better, I suppose, to see the struggle that goes with God's blessing in this life. Jacob wrestled with God, would not let go until he received that blessing. The Canaanite woman did the same. And they were in the same situation. They had nothing to cling and hold on to except the word and promise of God. They would not let the promise for a blessing go, no matter what. And just like Jacob, the woman was willing to wrestle with God himself in order to receive the blessing that he has promised. How often does your life seem to be just pure pitch black, much like the darkest of night? How often in that darkest darkness does it seem as if you're wrestling with God himself? Just as it was for Jacob, just as it was for the Canaanite woman, the Lord only wrestles with those he dearly wants to bless. It's through the wrestling that the proper perspective is put on earthly things in your life, as the Lord blesses you richly in ways in which you would have never thought. Jacob would be given an entirely new name. He'd never forget that name that he was given when he would wrestle with the Lord. The Lord gives Jacob the new name Israel, which means one who struggles or wrestles or rules alongside with God. When the Lord gives you a name, he's promising to be your God, to save you. The Lord gave you his holy name. In the waters of baptism, he marked you with the sign of the cross, made you his treasured possession, gives you his holy name in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with that name, you can remember, as Jacob did, as Israel did. You can remember and throw Christ's promises back on him. That blessing comes down to us through Jacob, now Israel's family line, Jesus, who was born to save us, who was born to go to the cross and be crucified for you. Risen from the dead gives you life. That's the Savior who washed you with water and word. That's the Savior who feeds you body and blood and gives you promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. You see, the promises of God we know, but sometimes in this life we just struggle. It seems that they're not real. That's called a life under the cross. Temptation that comes from the old evil foe that would seek to drag you from unbelief and despair. Remember, though, the Lord cannot forget his promises. So in the midst of your daily struggle, whether it's with your parents or children, with your wife or husband, with your teachers or school or work or sickness or mental illness or a particular sin, whatever it is, when it seems the Lord is absent or he may be even against you, you can cry out, "I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me. Treat me as your baptized child, the one you've absolved and forgiven, the one you gave your body and blood and promises to. And even when things look bleak, I'm going to trust you that you're going to work all this for my good." And he will, because he's that kind of Savior. He must bless you. And he has, in the giving of forgiveness and the promise of the life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.